And please remain standing as you're able for the reading of the gospel lesson, which today comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, the title of today's sermon is "As We Forgive Those." You know, back coming up, they didn't put titles on sermons. I don't know when that started. When I went to preaching school a few years ago, they said you had to put titles on sermons. Back when I was coming up, if you listened to the preacher, when you got through, if he knew what he was doing, you could tell what he had preached about. If you couldn't tell what he had preached about, I guess he hadn't preached very well. But now they want you to put a title on the sermons. Clark, when did that start anyway? He ain't paying attention. Never mind. Some things never change. I want to look at the choir. I want them to know that I know you're back there. I might forget again. Well, Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter because I'm a lot like him. Simon Peter wanted Jesus to know that he was above the other disciples. I don't think he really wanted to know how many times he had to forgive somebody. I think he just wanted Jesus to realize that he, Simon Peter, knew it was more than once or twice. Don't you? You know people like that, that ask questions so that they can show you that they know the answer. Do you know people like that? And Peter was, "How many times, Jesus?" "Up to seven?" But I think Peter was probably shocked when he got the answer. Because Jesus told him, "No, Peter, I'm not going to tell you seven times. I'm going to tell you 70 times 7. Now, I'm from Porterdale and not real good with math. I had a math teacher, Miss Pauline Hardiman. You have Pauline, and she had sharp fingernails, and you'd be doing a math problem, and she'd come by your desk. And if you weren't doing it fast enough to suit her, she would dig those fingernails in the top of you. Let me tell you, that didn't help a bit. But I know that 70 times 7 is 490. And that's not what Jesus meant either. He didn't mean you had to forgive somebody 490 times. Although my lovely wife Lisa was raised in the Baptist church, and they take things quite literally, and she believed that's what that meant. And early in our marriage, I did something to offend her, and she said, "That's it? I've forgiven you 490 times, mister, and you better not mess up again." And I said, "Lisa, it's only the third day of our honeymoon." But that was 36 years ago, and she's still forgiving me. She's even going to forgive me for telling that story about her. So, but what Jesus was trying to say to Peter is that we should forgive our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our friends and our enemies and infinite number of times if they ask our forgiveness and if they're truly sorry and if they repent. Why on earth should we do that? Well, because God has forgiven us and will forgive us an infinite number of times if we ask forgiveness and if we repent and if we mean it in our heart. Got a story about forgiveness by the great theologian Jerry Clower. Y'all, some of y'all know Jerry Clower. I was worried in that second service because there are young folks in there never heard of Jerry Clower. But Jerry Clower from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And he tells stories about the Ledbetter family. And there was Marcel and Ardell and Clovis, but he tells this story about Nugene Ledbetter, and Nugene Ledbetter was bad to lie. He was the worst liar in Amite County, Mississippi. Everybody knew that Nugene would tell a lie. And they had a neighbor, the Ledbetters did, that had a big, shaggy collie dog. But every year at the first of the summer, they would clip that collie dog and shave him real close to give him some relief from the heat, because it gets hot in Mississippi in the summertime. It doesn't get as hot as it was in Athens yesterday, but it gets hot. And this particular summer, the neighbor decided that he'd play a joke on everybody in the neighborhood. And when he clipped his collie dog, he left a big ring of fur around his neck and on the bob of his tail. And Nugene went out in the yard, and he saw that dog and went running back in the house, and he was screaming, "Lion in the yard! Lion in the yard! Y'all don't go outside, you'll get eat up. There's a lion in the yard." Well, Uncle Versie Ledbetter had had quite enough with Nugene's lying all the time. He said, "Nugene, what am I going to do with you? I have whipped you. I have lectured you. I have sent you to bed without supper, and you still telling lies. I want you to go up to your room. I want you to meditate. I want you to pray to God and ask Him forgiveness one more time for lying. And don't you come back downstairs until God has spoken to you." About an hour later, Nugene came back downstairs, and Uncle Versie said, "Nugene, did God speak to you? Did He say He had forgiven you?" Nugene said, "God spoke to me." Uncle Versie said, "What did He say?" Nugene said, "God said first time He saw that dog, He thought he was a lion too." God understands if we'll ask forgiveness. Well, Jesus told Simon Peter that seven times wasn't enough, that forgiveness had to go on and on and on. But then, as Jesus loved to do, He told a story. You know, the great theologian, Baptist preacher Marshall Edwards, who taught me, Sue, that Zippity-Doo-Dah is a perfectly good hymn if you put a choral amen on the end of it, said at Salem Campground, right there in the pulpit one day, that Jesus often told stories to get a message across so that common everyday people could understand. And He called them parables. And Marshall said that I tell stories so that common everyday people can understand. And I call them preacher stories. And he said, Daryl Huckabee tells stories and they're just plain out lies. But after Jesus had talked to Peter about the forgiveness and how many times, He said, "I'm going to tell you a story." And this was His story. He said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." Now, the book of Matthew was written for the Jews. And when Matthew writes parables, he's writing so the Jews will understand what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like, so that they'll understand that Jesus is the Messiah. And in Matthew's parables, when he talks about the king, he's referring to God. So when he says the king, he's talking about God. And when he says the king wanted to settle accounts with his servants, then the king is God. We are the servants. And when he said the king wanted to settle his accounts, he's reminding us that there will be a settling of the accounts one day. Y'all haven't forgotten that, have you? We will have to settle accounts with God one day. We are saved by grace. Praise God. There's no other name on earth by which we can be saved. We cannot work our way into heaven. But there will be a judgment. There will be a settling of accounts. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, and I'm going to explain some things to you, because the rest of the story won't really mean anything to you if you don't understand this. I'm going to give you some background. Because in this story, I don't have my clip-on mic, so I'm afraid to turn around and talk to y'all too much because they can't hear. So just know I'm thinking about you back there. But the story is going to talk about talents, and it's going to talk about denarii. It's going to talk about particularly 100 denarii and 10,000 talents. A denarii is a day's wage. And whether we're talking about the year 32 AD or whether we're talking about the year 1968 when I went to work in the Osprey Mill, or when whether we're talking about the year 2018, we can understand a day's wage, can't we? And a denarii represented a day's wage. When I turned 16, I thought it was the greatest day of my life because my daddy came to the schoolhouse for the first time in my life. I was in Mr. Croom's physics class, and Mr. Sharp came over the loudspeaker and told him to send me to the office. And Mr. Croom said, "What has he done now?" And Mr. Sharp said, "Nothing. His father's here to check him out." And I thought, oh, goodness. My daddy checked me out of school and took me to the Buckin' Kid to eat lunch. We had hamburgers. Then he took me to the courthouse, and I got my driver's license. It was a great day. But then he took me to the employment office at the Osprey Mill, and at 3 o'clock, I was on the second shift working in the weave shop. $1.20 an hour. So a day's wage in the Osprey Mill was hard earned. I knew what a day's wage was. A denarii for me was $9.60 for a long time. Okay, a denarii, a day's wage. Well, to get 100 denarii, they worked 6 days a week in those days. It was about 4 months. Are you following me? So whether it's $8.60 an hour minimum wage or $15 an hour, if you live in California, 100 denarii is 4 months' work. Well, if you worked every day for 20 years, every day, year-long, 6 days a week, for 20 years, you would earn one talent. And then you'd have to work just 9,999 more days. You with me? To have 1,000 talents. So 200,000 years, and you'd earn 10,000 talents. So, a quarter of a year, 100 denarii. 200,000 years, 10,000 talents. So the point Jesus was trying to make is, if you owed somebody 10,000 talents, that's a debt that could never be repaid, that could never be worked off. Do you understand? He was exaggerating on purpose for a reason, to show the vastness of the debt. And we owe God a debt exactly that vast, because Paul writes in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We owe a debt that can never be repaid. We can't work it off. We can't be good enough to work off our debt to God. We can't come to church enough. We can't chair enough committees. We can't sing enough beautiful songs. We can't play enough beautiful anthems. We can't feed enough hungry people. We can't clothe enough homeless people. We can't teach enough Sunday school lessons. We can't preach enough sermons. We can't work off our debt to God. Only through grace of God can we be saved. That's the whole point. So, but do you get now the contrast between 100 denarii and 10,000 talents before we go on with the story? So, when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him, owed him 10,000 talents. It's about $1 billion in today's money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He arose and forgave him the debt. The servant asked forgiveness. The master forgave him the debt. That's all we're asked to do. If we ask forgiveness, our debt is forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we ask forgiveness, our debt is forgiven. What a great, great story. What a great, great thing. How amazing is that grace? Y'all aren't smiling. Why aren't you smiling? Why? That's the best thing. That's the best news I ever heard. Y'all must have read ahead. Y'all must know I'm going to tell you. We talked about Marshall Edwards a little bit earlier. He preached at Salem 7 times. One year, Marshall preached at Salem, and the very next week, I had to do a book signing up near Blowing Rock. So Lisa and the kids went with me, and we went to Marshall's church and listened to him preach. We walked in. He was preaching the same sermon he had preached at camp meeting. I was shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that preachers use the same sermon over and over. And it was the zippity-doo-dah sermon, Sue. It was. Well, about 3 or 4 years ago, John Ed Matheson preached at Salem. And the next week, he preached at Shingle Roof. And we went to hear John Ed, and he was using the exact same sermon he had preached the week before. Well, I'm going to tell you, they say that confession is good for your soul. I preach, y'all haven't seen me in a while, but it's not just because I've been traveling. I've been filling in at a Presbyterian church down in Covington. And I preached this same sermon last week down there, and Lisa told me she didn't like it. She said, don't preach that sermon this week because I didn't like the way Jesus was rough. I didn't like the way Jesus did on that. Now, she's getting more like her mom every day. Doesn't like the way Jesus did. But he had more of the story. There's more of the story. Listen to this. But that servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. This guy was just forgiven $7 billion. And he laid his hands on him, and he took him by the throat. He said, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told the master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Now, listen to that a little bit closer. The master gave him over to his torturers. He said, you got to go over here and be tortured. Until when? How long am I going to be tortured? Until you work and pay back everything you owe me. It's going to take 200,000 years. You're going to be tortured 200,000 years. That's a long time. And then Jesus said, these are the red words, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. It says it in the Lord's Prayer. You know, I was preaching in that Presbyterian church, and they don't say the Lord's Prayer just like we do. And I had to practice every day. Every week I was there because I didn't want to lead them in the Lord's Prayer and say it wrong. They say, forgive us our debts. We say, forgive us our trespasses. But that neither debt nor trespass, that's not the important word. It's forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, as, in the same manner as. Would you take that bargain? Are you okay with that? Are you okay if you say to God, God, forgive me all of my sins, just like I forgive my friends and my brothers and sisters, and just like I forgive my neighbors, and just like I forgive my friends, and just like I forgive my enemies. Are you okay with that? Would that be a good deal for you? Forgive me my debts, forgive me my trespasses, just like I forgive other people. Well, that's the deal that we're going to get. That's the deal we're going to get. That's what Jesus says. We are forgiven people. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we're also called to be forgiving people. That's the other end of the bargain that we need to remember. And please, no show of hands. I admitted that I preached this sermon last week, and I said, are any of you carrying a grudge? Boy, hands went up everywhere. I'm not calling out the testimony. I don't want to know. But in your mind, I want to ask, are you carrying a grudge? If you are, if you're not, you know, football season is just getting started. You will be in a week or two. Elections coming up. You will be soon. No, but you know, you need to put it down. It's a heavy thing to carry. It's a heavy thing to carry. And if you're holding a grudge against someone, it's not hurting them a bit, but it's burdening you. It's not their burden, it's your burden. And you need to put it down to ease your own mind, to ease your own pain and suffering. And because the Bible says so. It'll bring you peace to forgive. It'll bring you comfort to forgive. And it will help you settle up accounts with God to forgive. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Let him who has ears hear. Shall we pray? Eternal God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to come to your house to worship. Thank you for reminding us through your word that we are forgiven people. If there's anyone here who has never asked for forgiveness, please touch their hearts this very moment, dear God, and help them know that if they will ask forgiveness and repent of their sins, that you are faithful to forgive them, and their sins will be taken as far away as the east is from the west. That their sins, though they be as scarlet, their souls will be as white as snow. And thank you for reminding us that we should forgive those who have trespassed against us in the same manner that you have forgiven us. And I ask that we also do that in this very instant. In Christ's holy name, we make this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now go in peace, knowing that you are a forgiven people. And be a forgiving people as we carry the light of Christ into the world. Amen.